Music and Booze with Mo is produced and distributed by Eats Drinks TV, a service of the Center for Culinary Culture, home of the Cocktail Collection, and First Reel Entertainment, and is available wherever fine podcasts can be heard. The Center for Culinary Culture, telling the story of food and drink, one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at TheMermaidLA.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink. Welcome to Mo's Tropical Summer. As any regular listener knows, every summer I get to talk with people from all over the world, actually, who work or own bars with a bit of a tropical bent to them, and this summer is no exception. So sit back and relax, mix yourself a drink that has lots of fruit juices, rums, and maybe even an umbrella, and enjoy Tropical Summer.
Destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide, break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side, yeah.
Many years ago, I was in Fort Lauderdale, pretty much just so I could visit the Maikai, which is a legendary old-school tiki palace. And while I was there, I met the person that I'm about to interview and chat with, Rodrigo Serrano. He started in Guatemala and eventually made his way to the States. He was bartending in casinos and such back in Guatemala, found himself at the Maikai, and now you can find him at Three Dots and a Dash and the Bamboo Room in Chicago. But he's not just about tropical stuff. He loves the classics, and that includes classic rock. So sit back and relax. It's time to talk with Rodrigo Serrano.
Like, you know what, I'm tired of the industry life. I'm going to, like, you know, the bar scene. And like after 1 month, I was like, oh, this is getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Mm-hmm. And I start to research for jobs in a coffee shop, but I never figure how the coffee shop thing is in the United States. Mm-hmm. Because but a lot of people explain to me that it's a Portland or like West Coast. Yeah, West Coast, like, you know.
The whole world culture. Of coffee.
Yeah,
there is definitely white, coffee culture.
Yeah, white people, you know, with a lot of tattoos or hippies or hipsters working in coffee shops. And I got that idea in my mind. I'm like, crap, I won't be able to find a job in a coffee shop. And I was trying. Then boom, I got this job. I worked there for a year.
But and that was during the pandemic, right?
Yeah. Between that year, I found a gig in a mansion with some friends. And I start to work with that people. Mm-hmm. and they are rich, of course. And I started to work them pretty often. And I was technically there. It was my second job. Mm-hmm. It was a gig, like, you know, two or three times a month, but I was doing enough money to keep my job at the coffee shop. But I was like, you know what? I really want to come back to the bar scene. I was doing part-time in the coffee shop after the year. And I started to work at this private, like, member club or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I was doing a lot of job. Mm-hmm. But I was working just brunch.
Yeah.
And then I saw that the bar that I worked, the Three Dozen and Dash, was, they were hiring. And I was like, I don't know if I really want to apply. The schedule there is pretty tough. It's like they close to very late and blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. I'm like, you know what? No, I'm not going to apply. Then one of the managers reached to me like, hey, how is it going? You're still in Chicago? And it's like, crap. Okay, I'm going to text him back. I text him back and... yes, I'm still here. Like, hey, you want to come for an interview? I have an open position for you. I'm like, crap. After 2 years, I finally getting this job, whatever. After 2 years, I got the job over there. I'm technically about to get a year over there, but I really enjoy it. But for me was a big change again to start to work during the night. Mm-hmm. But they don't close too late. Right now, that's what I accept the job.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I didn't want to be like too late, you know, working.
Pandemic hours, post-pandemic hours, you know, everything's a little different.
That, to be honest. Well, I really love that, to be honest. And also pandemic, to be honest, helps me to discover like a lot of stuff mm-hmm. on me. Like, you know, I love coffee like always, mm-hmm. but I discovered that I love coffee more than bartending.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah.
But there were things that align though, because I know I just talked with someone else who, and I mentioned this before, was working in coffee and found similarities to bartending because there are certain procedures, certain styles, certain things to do with certain types of coffee that apply to things you do in the cocktail world.
Oh yeah. You know, also I'm now in this barista challenge mm-hmm. with Liqueur 43. They mm-hmm. They were pushing me last year, like, hey, you should get into, like, last year. I'm like, no, I'm taking a break from competition and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to apply. I didn't. And I did it this year and I qualified for the top 10. But mm-hmm. Because I have been in coffee like several years, I'm like, yeah, probably I'm going to try this year and let's see what happened. And here I am.
I want to hear about when you started bartending. You know, you're from Guatemala. So yes. I don't know if you started there or what. So introduce yourself.
Yes, first. After I broke with my ex, she moved to the city.
She moved back to the city in Guatemala.
Mm-hmm. And I was living in a small town, but it's like the second city, but it's this city is very popular because we have some of the best Spanish school in Guatemala mm-hmm. and also Latin America.
Yeah.
That's nice. That's how I met my wife. Well, and after a couple of years, I was like struggling to find a job. And I was like, I really want to do, I work for like 2 or 3 years taking pictures in bars and mm-hmm. nightclubs with a brand. And I started to be interested in, like, you know, watching people working behind the bar. Sometime one of my friends, like, he just like, hey, you want to help me to open some beers? And I'm like, blah, yeah, blah, whatever. I started like that. And then I found that it was going to be like a bartending school, and one of my cousins was pushing me like, hey, you should get into, like, if you like that, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I get into the bartending school. After I was done with that, I met a lot of people that was trying to do good things in Guatemala, and one of them was doing a bar mobile, mm-hmm. like private events. Mm-hmm. And I start to work with him. Then I was doing school when I met my wife, and between that, she was traveling, and when I finished school, she started to bring me, you know, like shakers, like tools, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and I started to do more like private gigs. But it wasn't too good at all, like, you know, money wise talking. Then I decide to get a job in a casino that I hate so much.
But yes, you learned how to make drinks really fast, I'm sure.
Yeah. And I was there. I changed my mind totally after I started to work there, mm-hmm. because I was server and / bartender. And I learned how to deal with people there because, mm-hmm. you know, I have to do it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And after like a year and a half working there, one of my really close friends in Guatemala, he told me like, hey, there is an opportunity to work with a rum brand as a bartender with them. Like, you want to take it? It's like, because I can't do that because I work with them, but I work with another stuff and mm-hmm. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. And he recommended me. I started to work with Botran Rum for like 6 months. Mm-hmm. But during that process, I already was married with my wife, and I was in the process to come here.
To the United States.
To the United States. Mm-hmm. And I moved in 2016 to Florida. That was a big change at all. It was nice. But here I have to start, you know, from scratch. I have to start from zero because, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm a bartender. No, here you have to be like first barback, mm-hmm. then bartender. But yeah. It took me a while. It took me like a year to get into that. I start to visit, in that time still open, Creepy Tiki, that I was like,
did you work
minutes away?
Did you work?
No.
I knew them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I start to visit them. Mm-hmm. And Kate and I forget the other name.
Amy? Guy.
Yes. They start to like, hey, you should go to the Tiki Tea and blah, blah, blah.
The Maikai.
Maikai.
Yeah.
And I start to visit the Maikai pretty often when I was working around. And once I was like, you know what? I'm going to ask. I want to see them behind the bar, behind the kitchen, you know?
Because it's so mysterious at the Maikai. Yeah, they're still old school and keep everyone in the back.
Mm-hmm. Really nice. And they gave me a tour in the bar and the whole Maikai. And I was walking with one of the managers, with Karen. I asked him like, hey, I'm just wondering, like, are you hiring right now or no? I don't know. I don't think so. But whatever. We were walking. When I was going out, I asked to one of the captains, hey, do you know if they are hiring? Oh, yeah, you should come. And now is the big season because it was like September, October. And you know mm-hmm. that Maikai season is like from November through like March.
March, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I asked them, and I came back the next day to apply. And the next day, Karen called me and it's like, hey, I got you an interview with Mr. Levy. I'm like, who is Mr. Levy? I'm like, great. I was excited because I was learning, like, you know, I got some Tiki books when I was living in Guatemala, mm-hmm. and I was into rum. And I got the job at the Maikai, but I did a hukilau in 2017, months before to start to work in
I feel like
Maikai.
I'm trying to That's think when I met you. You. Did I meet yes. you at that Maikai? Because I think, I'm sorry, at that hukilau, I think that was the first year I went, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, no, I met you in my second hukilau when you went with
Marie.
18, yes. Mm-hmm. But I met them, like this, mm-hmm. most of these people in 2017. That's mm-hmm. how I met Kevin Bieri from Three Dots mm-hmm. and a Lash. Mm-hmm. I met, you know, Daniel De La Pola, mm-hmm. A lot of people from everywhere. And I started to do seminars with them. Then I got the job at the Maikai. I was there 8 months. And I, you know, my wife has to move to do the internship. Mm-hmm. That's why we moved to Ohio. And that year was very successful for me, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I got into work class. And I never expect that because I did it 2017 and 18 and I didn't qualify. You know, I didn't have idea.
Then I remember seeing that you were competing. You moved away and then you were competing and you went pretty far in the work class.
Didn't go through like, you know, finals because it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's still tough for me because, you know, like English is not my first language, but mm-hmm. I always try to push myself mm-hmm. and, you know, I have my wife super all the time. She always is like helping me with brights and that stuff.
Nice.
Yes. And then I did very well in Ohio. I was working in a small bar and I was running the Tiki Tuesdays over there. Mm-hmm. They already got it, but I made it, you know, bigger because I came from
a really famous
Tiki bar.
Yeah.
That helped me. And that was my key to work at Three Dots and a Lash mm-hmm. because of course I have the background and when you are working and you tell people, oh, I work at this place, like, wow, like that's really nice. You work at the mic guy. And it's like, I work at the mic guy. That I'm using tiki, but it's not, you know, I'm in coffee, I'm in classics, and like, you know, mm-hmm. I know like
a lot about kind of
cocktails, you know, but people use sometimes. I got people at the bar and it's funny, like, do you know how to make an old fashioned? And it's like, yeah.
Well, I think people can be easily distracted by tiki and tropical drinks because they are so complex. There's so much going on in them. And I think they just keep them in a completely different category and forget that in reality, a tiki cocktail is the most complicated craft cocktail you can do. And that they were early craft cocktails because they're very precise. You can't mess up with one of those or the taste is just over. You know, it's not the same kind of drink. So you have to be good at the other things.
One time one guy asked me like, hey, do you know how to make a Negroni? I'm like, yeah, like, because we don't have mixing glass in you know, in mm-hmm. the well, like,
yeah,
we don't need it.
Yeah,
but I always have one like on the tucked away well, mm-hmm. and I put the mixing, oh, you know how to make a Negroni? It's like, yeah, like, why you think like we are bartenders, like, we, you know, first thing that we learn are classics or mm-hmm. whatever. Yeah. It's pretty fun to work on.
Everything else also grows off of that, you know.
Yeah. It's like, I'm working at the Bamboo Room as well, and mm-hmm. it's pretty nice. You know, we get mentioned at the North America 50 Best Bars.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty nice. It's pretty exciting.
Tell me about the Bamboo Room, because I mean, the Mai Kai, I'm sure there are stories about the Mai Kai. That place is legendary. Legendary. Three Dots and a Dash, also legendary right now. And the Bamboo Room it's kind of like the speakeasy of Three Dots and a Dash.
It's technically is, but they are more focused on
rums, right? Like special
rums. Like rums, but it's not tiki. It was tiki before, but like, you know, modern tiki, but mm-hmm. they decide to don't do it when they reopen again mm-hmm. last year. Mm-hmm. They wanted to make the Bamboo Room more like, you know, like spirit forward cocktails mm-hmm. with rum. Mm-hmm. Rum focus, it was mm-hmm. the thing, it is the thing, but they don't want to make tiki there. We obviously do, because people ask for them, but we want to be more like, you know, like a modern cocktail situation. Mm-hmm. We have really nice cocktails, but a lot of, you know, like, we use the centrifuge to create syrups or infusions or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's not, we are not focused on tiki, the Bamboo Room.
You're just focused on rum. Rum just and happens to be associated.
It's pretty wild because I'm now learning in another way about rums, because we are like, you know, Three Dots and a Dash, we have a big wall with rums, but mm-hmm. we are divided by countries. And that's mm-hmm. how I learned rums. Mm-hmm. And Bamboo Room is focused on, like, you know, like pot still, like column, like sugar cane rums, molasses rum, like honey, sugar cane. I'm like, that's another word for me, like, because you learn like basic things and now I switch to that, and it's but it's nice, you know. I'm very excited to be there.
Rum is such a diverse category and so vast, you know. There's so many rums, and it's one insane. Of them. Yeah, and to hear you who worked at the Maikai, and you've worked within Three Dots and a Dash, and you work in that environment, and you've been to Rum Renaissance and had lots of learning opportunities, and that you are still learning makes me feel like I'm never going to get there. Never.
Yeah, it's a lot. You know, I learn always something. Like every time that I work at the Bamboo Room, I discover a rum. Like, you know, it's a Betty rum hiding behind another bottle.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, customers, like, we got a lot of like very nice people, like rum enthusiasts, like, hey, I would like to try this rum. You have this in the menu. I'm like, where is it? Like, but it's there, you know. And it's like a weird, you know, from 2005 or something like that. And it's like, well, I never seen this rum before in my life. I'm like, this is like a weird nice rum. And sometimes I taste rums with customers, and that's the most beautiful part, that you are like,
you're still learning and getting that experience.
Oh, this is a really nice rum. I never heard about it. And it's like, you are teaching me, and people were like, really? Like, yeah, thank you for that. And blah, blah, blah. And it's really nice, because as I told you, I'm still learning about rums, and it depends who I work with. Mm-hmm. But when I'm working with like some of the old bartenders over there, and they start to talk, I'm like, crap. They know like the brand, the distillery, the history behind, and I'm like, that's a lot. But it's nice, you know. It's nice to know about it, but
yeah,
it has been there for 5 years, and
yeah,
I'm like, you know,
still learning. Well, you know, to shift gears a little bit, there's another topic, because remember, this is about music as well. So there's another topic that is music is another topic where people. For example, I've worked in the music industry forever, but I still feel like I'm learning all the time, which is what we're saying about this rum stuff, is there's still something to learn. And music is one of those as well. And I interviewed Kevin years ago, I think at Hookie Lao. It might've been at that same Hookie Lao when Corey was still with Three Dots and a Dash.
Yeah. That was the year when I met Corey, because I remember like talking to him, like really quick when I was, when I started to work there, I showed them pictures like, how do you know them? I did Hookie Lao. She's like, oh, that's why you know Kevin. He's like, yeah. And you know, Corey, you did this. I'm like, yeah, but they don't work anymore there. They, you know, they left after the pandemic or before. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I met them. I'm like, oh, like, because sometimes people talk about him. I'm like,
he's legendary. Don't know
who they're talking about. Yeah. But
when I interviewed him, Kevin, we talked about what their ideal music would be and everything. And Kevin said, oh, I'd want to have a hip hop tiki bar. And Corey said, I want a metal tiki bar.
because they were talking about
the kind of music that gets played there and everything. So on your end, I was going to say with the music stuff, you know, you grew up with a completely, you know, different kind of musical experience and everything, a little more, maybe a little more like mine was, you know, in that we would grow up in the kind of music we think of as fitting a tropical space, maybe a little different. So
listen, really quick. When I play, like when I work Wednesdays at the Bamboo Room, those are usually my days. Mm-hmm. I play a heavy salsa playlist.
Yeah.
Sometimes I got one of the head bartenders like, why are you playing that? It's like, and people love it, but it's like, everybody that is Hispanic, they want to get into the Bamboo, and it's like, no, it's just with reservation. Oh, but the music is nicer here. I love that part.
See, so you already know. So you would send me a list like of the music you would play, you know, that you want to play when you have a bar. What would be if you had your own tropical bar, would it be salsa the whole time?
I guessed in one of my really good friends in Guatemala, I guessed in his bar, and I usually give him like a list of songs that I want to hear during the night, that, you know, because I want to when you are shaking or whatever.
You want to get your energy. Yeah.
Yeah. You have like, and I started in a like vinyl, like recordings, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when I was in Ohio, because mm-hmm. I started to meet people that was very interested in records, and they start to recommend me stuff. And I'm mm-hmm. like, I probably need one of those things. And I got it. My brother, he got one like years before. Mm-hmm. And he was the one like, hey, you should stop. Like, he's like, no, because I want to build my my library, like with cocktail books. And I want to mm-hmm. spend my money in cocktail books. I have like 85 cocktail books probably.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you're like, I have no room for records. I'm putting cocktail books up.
But when we move, like every year that we were moving, my wife is like, hey, you should stop to buy stuff because we don't have space now. But now I have my records side and my bar. They are ready next. I probably, you can see a little bit.
Oh yeah.
Here's the record thing and here's the bar.
Oh my God. So there's a lot of mugs over there. I see a lot of mugs.
Yes, I stopped to buy them, to be honest, because I don't need them anymore. Like, you know, I don't use them. They are just like sitting there, like getting dusty.
You use your records.
I use my records. And with my baby now, I try to play with her mm-hmm. Like most of Latino music. Mm-hmm. But I personally grew up listening like classic rock, like Led Zeppelin.
Really?
Oh yeah, my uncles. I have a Pink Floyd tattoo. I'm very big fan of Pink Floyd.
I would never uncles, think that in Guatemala you'd be listening to Pink Floyd.
Oh yeah, my uncles were like, you know, like
total metal guys. Metal.
Yeah, like
when so my cousins been okay with Corey's heavy metal tiki bar then. You
know, that's what I like it when I was visiting a Creepy Tiki.
Mm-hmm. Oh, true. Yeah, they were very like punk rock music, metal, punk rock.
And I was, I grew up listening Led Zeppelin, Doors. Doors is one of my favorite bands.
Really?
Yes.
Have you ever had the chance to name a song after any of this music? Like in your
cocktails?
I'm sorry. Cocktails? That's what I meant. Name any of your cocktails after any of these songs.
I have a cocktail called Break On Through to the Tiki Side. Mm-hmm. I call once, I don't remember the name of that, but one of my, like inspired by a lot of songs. I made a post once with Pink Floyd records. Also, one of my cocktails for work last this year was named, let me grab the record. I'm just getting those right now. It was called The Delicate Taste of Tang. But it came from the Delicate Sounds of Thunder from Pink Floyd.
Yeah. Wow.
But I call this cocktail like that, the Delicate Taste of Tan, because I use tangerine, but I wanted to make the juices think like name, like end then, like end the name of the cocktail about like respect about how they, what they taste. Mm-hmm. You know, if they taste more the Tanqueray. Or the tangerine.
Oh, that's cool. That's, clever.
The idea of the cocktail, but I came from, you know, from Pink Floyd, and I use a London Lego ding to make my prop.
Wow.
It was very inspiring, the music, you know, and art and music.
Yeah.
Very nice. I have a couple other cocktails named, like by music. I have a cocktail, it's a Green Day song, the Broken
Boulevard Dreams of Broken or, Dreams, yeah.
But it's a blend of rum and bourbon. And it's like technically a boulevardier with bourbon and rum. But it's, I call it like that.
The boulevardier but inspired music.
Yeah, I really like music. I never learned how to play any instrument. But I grew up with when my mom moves to the States, I was living with my grandma, and my uncles were visiting her like every weekend. And, you know, I remember some of them still having like cassettes the types. And one of them was the delicate sounds of thunder. And I remember that type really, really, really well. My uncle was always playing that. Do you think you could tell? You know, I'm going to see Roger Waters in in a couple of weeks, and I'm very excited. I saw him the first time in Florida, in Miami, and I was like about to cry when he started to play "I Wish You Were Here." Because
that would make me cry too. I love that song.
I was like, you know, getting bumps.
Yeah,
I'm like, wow, this is amazing. I always dream to see them. You know, my dream is still like seeing David Gilmour and Roy Waters playing together again. It's not going to happen, but whatever.
I love that you are such a huge fan. I love that.
Yes, I'm like, I have
obviously you have a tattoo.
And I have the Roy Waters thing
on the other side. Resist. Oh my God.
I really love Pink Floyd. I was about to make me the Zeppelin because I love Led Zeppelin as well.
Mm-hmm.
The Doors, I love Jim Morrison. It's like, I have a crush on him. he's like, you know, he didn't good things, you know, like, but like, I like his style and how he was in certain things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I grew up very, very, I would say like a rock and roll guy.
That's awesome. I love it.
Now I'm between, you know, like, everything. I like Spanish rock a lot. Like,
there's really good Spanish rock out there.
Oh, yeah, I think I was like Soda Stereo, Gustavo Cerati, Héroes del Silencio, Enrique Bunbury. That came from Héroes del Silencio. Like, he just retired like 2 months ago. That's pretty bummer because I got my tickets and I got the most expensive tickets with one of my really good friends, and he decided just don't play anymore. The first time that I saw him wasn't here in the States, and I went to the Hollywood Palladium with my brother. Yes, and it was amazing. And I took pictures with some of his musicians that I met in Mexico City when I was visiting Mexico City in 2014 after Lehman Tour getting to the top, the 50 best. I decided I was between Cancun or Mexico City. You know what? I don't want to go to Cancun. It's like, I'm not interested to be like a tourist, you know?
Yeah.
I want to be more like a bar hop person, because I was, and that year was when I was trying to get into the cocktail scene, you know, getting deeper.
And Mexico City has a great bar scene. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And then when I moved here, you know, I start to took my brother to tiki bars and cocktail bars as well. And he started to take me to a couple of places where you can see, you know, people playing records and with really nice cocktails and stuff like that. But yeah, you know, I'm very passionate about music. I don't know how to play any instrument.
Neither do I. I mean, I have a guitar back here, but don't ask me to play it for you.
But yeah, I really enjoy.
I love that.
I don't know how to dance. But I love dance. Like, you know, sometimes I play a record here downstairs. I start to dance with the baby, and she, like, you know, she loves that. Like,
yeah,
you know, because I bet it's music.
I bet you're a better dancer than you think you are.
Give me 3 beers and I will dance, but no, won't look great. You know, my wife, she danced better than me, and I don't know how to coordinate myself. Like, I'm pretty bad with that. Yeah, sometimes I'm dancing when we go to Guatemala, and we go out with my cousins. One of them is he's a professional salsa dancer. And he's like, here they are, like, dance with him. And I don't want, she really want to dance. I'm like, I'm not good at all. And she really enjoyed to dance with, you know, It's what it is. She took a couple salsa classes, and that is really nice. That's pretty nice.
That's awesome. Oh my God, I love it. So then I guess if you had your say, I guess for a tropical bar, you'd play the salsa, but if you had your own little bar, I suspect there would be some Pink Floyd happening in there at some point.
Okay. It will be a lot of like different kind of music. You know, it will be probably one day salsa, one day probably rock and roll, like classic rock and roll. Another day will be probably electronic music. I really like techno a lot. Like electronic music in general.
That's the weekend thing for sure. Play it on the weekend.
it will be like a Friday, Saturday night, playing. But I might probably start with a little bit of, maybe I would say rock and roll, like, Pink Floyd or something like that. Yeah. And I will be switching. But during the week, I might say like I will play in salsa all the time, or, like Monday night, I will probably play like Spanish rock and roll. I'm a very big fan of Enrique Bunbury. Is one of my favorite Spanish singers. Then it's Gustavo Cerati, that I wasn't a big fan until I was like 25, because I never understand his lyrics. And I remember listening to Soda Stereo, that was his band. They separate, he started to play by himself and he did a great job, but I never understand him. When I was 25, and I stopped to listen to him, and I was very focusing like Enrique Bunbury for years. And then one of my really good friends started to, we always listen like Gustavo Cerati, Soda Stereo. And when I moved to Chicago, I started to meet a lot of people that like the same, they have the same taste of music as me. And I'm like, that's really nice. Like, Zoe from Mexico, a lot of really nice bands, like Spanish rock bands.
And I would think it was a big enough town that those bands, if they tour, might go to Chicago,
They came every time to Chicago. Yeah. Last year, I couldn't go, but this year I'm planning to go. And also, Willie Colon is coming the 28th. I'm thinking about it. One of my friends told me, I might have tickets. I'm like, I'm probably going.
It's fun. Those shows are always fun.
Salsa, I don't know how to dance salsa, but I will enjoy the music. Yes,
you'll enjoy it.
That's no doubt. I usually go when I usually try to go to see concerts. I was expecting to see Motley Crue, Def Leppard, and who else was going to play? I remember.
Was Poison on that?
Poison. Wasn't Def Leppard, was Poison. Poison, Motley Crue, and I don't remember the other band. But of course, everything changed after pandemic, and they played the Friday that I was going to travel like last week. And I'm like, crap, why you decide playing on Friday?
I have to say, I really appreciate that you are talking about going to concerts. You're talking about seeing Motley Crue and Willie Colon in the same breath, which I think is amazing. I love that.
It's weird. My friends are always like, sometimes I listen reggaeton once in a while. I wouldn't say not, because I like to dance. And there is a reggaeton festival this weekend coming, but I can't because I has been requesting a little days off. But there is a famous DJ playing on Sunday night, and I don't work Monday. I'm like about to stop to see this DJ probably. But it's electronic music, but during the day is going to be like reggaeton. And I'm very open to music. Reggaeton is not something that I'm going to be listening like every day. Once in a while when
you're in the mood,
I play reggaeton, I dance, I clean, I whatever. In my car, I have I'm still having CDs, and I'm still having my USB, and my USB has some time of music, and I have a collection of CDs, but it's more like Pink Floyd, Doors. Like more the music that I really
the comfort
really,
it's your comfort music. Yes.
And when we travel with my wife, she knows that I will be singing in the whole time, like for 3 hours, the same musician, and probably will be the same songs but in different cities. It's a part, but she really enjoyed me, you know, seeing me happy. And she doesn't enjoy my voice when I'm singing. But she knows that, you know, she knows if she wanna be watching a show while we are driving, she must listen to me like the whole 3 hours, whatever, how long we drove. But yeah, it's nice. You know, I'm very like open with music. You know, I'm sure that you can imagine the music that we play at Three Dots and a Dash. Mm-hmm. Like during the weekdays, it's pretty nice. We have a lot of like surf bands, you know, going on.
Yeah.
Like tropical. Mm-hmm. Another really nice band that I really like from Cuba actually is just forget the name right now. Buena Vista Social Club.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I love them so much.
Yeah, wonderful. And they're always a good fit too. They work with everything. They really do.
Yeah, we usually play some of those at the Three Dots during the weekdays, but you know, at certain time, when the bar is getting packed, we switch and they start to play like R&B, like hip hop, like reggaeton.
You
like
have to.
Loud music, you know?
Yeah, you have to adapt. You have to, you know, whatever that crowd that's there now.
Means. And I know that because sometimes that's another thing that I'm always, I don't like when they switch me when I'm supposed to work at the service bar, because mentally I'm prepared to work at the service bar with less noise, be focused, just making cocktails, no garnish, no deal with people, anything. And he's like, hey, you want to work at the service at the front bar? I'm like, no, but sometimes I have to do it. If I'm required by a manager, I will do it. If not,
you like that service bar?
Yes and not. I like it when I didn't rest enough because I need to be, I want to be, energy. You know, yeah, when I'm working at the service bar, the front bar on a Friday or Saturday, I like to rest the most that I can because I will be like, you know, I will need that energy to be working there because Saturdays or Fridays are wild. Like wild. Yes.
Well, this is probably a good point to like wrap it up and tell people where they can find you. I don't know if you have social media that you want to tell people about.
In Instagram, I'm as a R. Serrano barman.
Oh my God.
I work at Three
Dots. You have to spell that for me. What is it on Instagram?
Okay. I'm going to put you in a chat.
You can email, I was going to say you can email it to me too. But that way people can find out. I'm assuming there you post when you work and things like that. Yes.
You know, I usually post when I'm working.
Serrano. That's right. So it's Rodrigo when Serrano. It's our Serrano. Yeah. Okay.
When I'm working at the Bamboo Room, because, you know, like I work usually like random days every single week at the Three Dots and a Dash. And sometimes it's like, oh, we need you at the service bar or we need you. Like, you know, this Monday, I was supposed to work at main bar and they were like, oh, you know, we did a switch because somebody like, you know, blah, 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 or something happened or it's a big party coming and, oh, you're going to be working with this person. And I'm fine. But when I know that I'm working at service bar, I'm prepared for that. Like mentally, I'm like, okay, I need to be fast, but I don't have to deal with nobody.
Yeah.
When I'm in main bar, I'm like, okay, I'm working main bar, a lot of coffee. Like, I try to be
and then you have people coffee. Come in and find you, you'll have energy. So if they will go to our Serrano Barman, then
yes, and on Instagram,
and then you're Three Dots and a Dash, and just the Bamboo Room have its own.
And Bamboo Room, no, they don't,
they do not. Okay, because they're very, I know they're very special. You need reservations and all of that to get in there.
So. You know, I'm the one that I usually accept walk-ins. Everybody do, but I'm always late. Yesterday, I got a very late customers and they wanted to see me and sit at the bar because I usually Wednesdays when I'm working at the main bar, if I'm not that busy, I go to Bamboo Room because it's just one bartender. And I like to go and help the bartender, mm-hmm. like not to make drinks, but I like, you know, I go to the bar and pick up like dirty glasses or mm-hmm. dirty plates, mm-hmm. like help them. Like, it's like, do you need me to go somewhere else to take orders? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, "Dad," and I'm like, technically the only one, well, one of the ones that can do that, you know, because I work there. I know how it works. But yeah, it's like mostly I usually like, do you want to get a couple walking? It's like, yeah, let's get at it. Let's do it.
I would be one of those people if I was there. Yeah, I would want to sit in front of you. I would want to come sit in front of you. So I would definitely check in first.
Yes, I've gotten so bad at Spanish that I didn't recognize that Rodrigo said R at the start of his name. R Serrano Barman on Instagram, the letter R, S-E-R-R-A-N-O, Barman, R Serrano Barman. That's where you want to go if you want to check out what he's up to. See when he's working at the Bamboo Room within 3 dots and a dash. You can also follow at 3 dots and a dash, all completely spelled out, to see if anything gets posted there about his upcoming shifts. And it was really great to talk to Rodrigo. I haven't seen him in a couple years because pandemic, and I haven't been traveling like we used to, but it was really nice to get to talk to him, and hope you enjoyed it as well. I myself am going to go into a deep Pink Floyd thing right now because that's just where he put my brain. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com. And also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Thank you for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guest, or if you want to connect with me, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. While you're there, give the show a rating and a review. It really helps to get the word out. If you want to hear the playlists our guests have curated, search She Be Mo on Spotify, S-H-E-B-M-O. Find pictures of the interviewees and the cool stuff they create on the Music and Booze with Mo Instagram account. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.